The following Dharma talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at the Zen Center of New York City. Hojin Sensei is the abbot of the Zen Center and head priest at Zen Mountain Monastery. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org/zcnyc. Thanks for listening.
The Blue Cliff Record, Case 52. Jiao Jiao, Stone Bridge That Lets All Cross. A student once asked Jiao Jiao, "For a long time I've heard of the Stone Bridge of Jiao Jiao, but now I've come here, I see a simple log bridge." Jiao said, "You see the log bridge, but you don't see the stone bridge." The student said, "What is a stone bridge?" Jiao said, "It lets asses cross. It lets horses cross." So this is for those of you who are new, one of the teaching devices in the Zen tradition is koan study, which is an important aspect of Zen training. And a koan is a story, a teaching story, and that points to our true nature, to the reality of our life. And in it, it makes it, we don't listen to it or we don't meet it in the usual way. It requires that our eyes hear, and our ears see, and fish sometimes fly, and birds sometimes swim. But this is pointing to something that's real and true. So we have to enter it. And this is a simple one. There's just two characters. There's this great master, Jiao Jiao, and a student that comes to see him. Let's listen to it once more. A student asked Jiao Jiao, "For a long time, I've heard of the stone bridge of Jiao Jiao, but now that I've come here, I see just a simple log bridge." Jiao said, "You just see the log bridge, but you don't see the stone bridge." The student said, "What is the stone bridge?" And Jiao said, "It lets asses cross. It lets horses cross." Some translations say donkeys, but most of them say asses. So I'm going with that. So an important part of Zen practice and Zen training is that there's no end product. It's not like we put in our time and then we get this end product, or someone says to you, like, "Very good, Jules, turn in your cushion, you're all done." No, this practice continues endlessly. Awakening to our life continues endlessly. In fact, in Dogen's One Master's Death poem, he wrote, which teachers sometimes write a poem as they're dying, he wrote, "There's still 84,000 things I don't know about." So Daido, my teacher, my first teacher, used to define Zen as a way of using our mind, a very particular way of using our mind, a way of living our life, and a way of doing that with other people. That's Zen, a way of using our mind, living our life, and doing that with other people. And that would, he would often implore us in his teachings. Some of us might say, "How wonderful," and some of us may be disappointed. "What? A way of living my life and doing that with other people?" Like we're going to hit some sweet spot after all this practice and it's over. No more problems, no more worries. I see perfectly and clearly everything. Sorry. Not from my experience so far. But he used to use this quote from Dogen often. He'd say, to study the Buddha way, the teachings of the Buddha, is to study the self, the way of impermanence, the way of suffering, to study that. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized, to be realized by the 10,000 forms, the myriad forms, that they come forward as the self. When we can forget, everything comes forward, and then we see who we are. When actualized by the myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body-mind of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Awakening applies to everyone equally. It's a difficult and joyful path and requires all of our engagement, really. Even if we feel broken, even if we feel lost, we can't help at any moment to show up in completion. We're always in completion. So incomplete, not bad. Perfect and incomplete, lacking nothing. We're in completion. We're in sanity. Insane. Don't you want to be in sanity? I do. It's one way of looking at it. And I was thinking, what's the opposite of awakening? Sleepening? Trancing? So awakening is often said like opening our eyes to see what's in front of us just as it is, just this, just as it is, without putting anything on it, just this, at this moment, not as it was, as it might be, not as it should be, as it could be. My mom used to say, shoulda, woulda, coulda. When I'd complain about something that didn't happen or the disappointment, she said, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Didn't. And I would be like right back. And when I first heard this phrase, just as it is, I thought, don't I see that way? Don't we see that way? Everything just as it is? And then I've come to see, not quite. Not quite are we just this or seeing just this. Often we're thinking, or we're in a dream, we're projecting something onto something, our ideas, our views, reifying. And this can't fulfill us. This can't make us free. And this is why we keep looking for more and more and more. And we're never satisfied because delusions are never enough. Never enough. That's what that song's about, right? I won't sing it. It's kind of hard. Deluded thoughts and disappointments in practice we meet over and over again. And it comes from one source, our mind. Our mind. We meet righteousness, we meet disappointment, expectations. And this is the good news, that we actually see it, that we meet it. As practitioners, when we have these things come up, that's the gold. That's the gold. I'm disappointed. So, no one can tell us how to see, how exactly to do this, because we are the one who is us. So we begin sitting into awareness in Zazen. And we see the challenge of the supremacy of our thoughts. And then that's what makes up diligent, careful, difficult, the sublime practice of this, of Zen. All of that. Joko Beck, a Dharma sister of Daido Roshi, she says, a zendo is not a place for bliss and relaxation. It's a furnace room for the combustion of our delusions. Daido used to say that a lot too, that Zen practice is a furnace. And he used to say, monks need to be made of asbestos. And I used to say, can't you find a different, different metaphor? Attention. That's what we need. Attention is how we attend. She says, not bliss, relaxation, ideas, concepts. Attention to just this breath, not that breath, just this step, not the next step. Each unique, each arising, each falling for the next arising. So this stone bridge of Joshu. I don't know how I came to this, but I did. And it grabbed me. It grabbed me this week. But often a teacher is named for the province where they taught. So he taught in Joshu was his Japanese name. Jiaojiao was the name of the province where he was located, where his temple was located. And he was the abbot of that local monastery, so you take on the name. And there were three famous stone bridges in China at that time. Daido was called Tenkozan, the heavenly mountain, Mount Tremper. So I don't know, do I get Brooklyn Bridge-san, Cobble Hill-san? I don't know what you want to call me. It's all right. I get called a lot of things. So a little about him. He's quite extraordinary. He lived mostly in the 800s in China. And he was ordained, like many of those monastics, at a very early age. And he lived to be 120 years old. And he met Nanquan, who was his main teacher, when he was 18 and had an opening experience, and stayed with Nanquan for 40 years, and then went on a pilgrimage at 60 to meet other teachers to learn, to train. He said, I can learn from, if it's a seven-year-old, I can learn something. So he learned from everyone. And at 80, he settled in this temple, maybe when this monastic's coming. And there's different styles of teaching. So he's not like Lin Chi or Tishan, say. Tishan, always a student would say something, 60 blows. Lin Chi or Rinzai, a student would say something, get whacked. He didn't do that. Joshu was sparkling words. He was able to use speech to kill and give life to a student. So I'll give you some examples of, sometimes teachers are loud, like those teachers. Daido used to say Mizumi Roshi would whisper in Dokusan. And Daido would be like, what? And he'd whisper, and Daido would be like, what? And that's how he taught. That was the kind of attention he brought, that you really had to listen. So here's an example of Joshu's wit. One day, one that's very familiar for us is, does the dog have Buddha nature? A monk asks, does the dog have Buddha nature? And Joshu said, mu. And that's what a student sits with, right? One day, Jiaojiao was with the head monk looking at a stone bridge when he asked the head monk, who built this? The head monk said, Lin Ying built it. Zhao said, "When he built it, where did he start?" The head monk had no reply. Zhao said, "You're always talking about the stone bridge, but when you're asked about it, where it got started, you don't even know." So that's one taste of his teaching. Another one is, one day Zhao Zhao was sweeping the floor, and a monk asked, "Teacher, you are a man of knowledge. Why is there dust?" Zhao said, "It's something that comes from outside." Again, the monk asked, "In a pure and clean monastery, why is there dust?" And Zhao said, "There's another little bit." Also, a monk asked, "What is the path?" And Zhao said, "It's outside the wall." The monk said, "I'm not asking you about the path. I'm asking you about the great way." Zhao said, "The great way runs through the capital." So that might all sound kind of puzzling, but just take it in. That's the koans. And this pointing. The Dharma is not easy to understand. So we have to get below and into just a deeper realm that's available to us. So the bridge starts with a bridge. What is a bridge? Maybe a form that builds a connection, an open connection from one shore to another shore, one side to another side, helps us cross over. In the Heart Sutra at the end, that we chanted this morning, you might have heard gatte, gatte, para, gatte. That means cross over, cross over, cross over to the other shore. So it's speaking about this shore of awakening and the shore of delusion, right? So cross over from being deluded, wake up, and that those shores aren't separate. That's one reality. They happen, they're mutually arising. The moment we get a little bit of out of our delusion, our ignorance, that other shore is right there. It arrives simultaneously, right? So that's one reality, inseparable. It's not two bridges, it's just one bridge. Maybe this brings to mind the metaphor of the raft. A lot of koans have teachers who are ordinary little boat riders, and they pick people up and ferry people, and take them to the other shore on a raft. And there's some encounter that takes place on this little raft. And then eventually they said, there's no raft needed. The raft is left behind. There's no raft to go over to the other shore. It's one shore, one place. So let's look at this. First, we'll take a look at the mind of the student. The student arrives. You arrive and you say, "For a long time, I heard of the stone bridge of Brooklyn, or Zhao Zhao. But now that I've come, I just see a simple log bridge." The footnote helps us. There's some footnotes. It says, "Here's another person who comes to grab the tiger's whiskers. This is the proper business of patch road monks, to have these Dharma encounters." So if we need to enter this mind of the student, mix our mind with the student in this question. Now what are we asking? "I have come all this way looking for this great renowned Master Zhao Zhao, and all I see is an ordinary looking old man." How arrogant, I must say. Maybe in our little mind we're thinking, "I've come here looking for this exquisite Zen, and all I see is a bunch of people sitting here, lowering their eyes, eating snacks on the sidewalk." "Or I've come here looking for enlightenment, looking for freedom and insight, And all I get is a pain in my legs, restlessness, distraction, boredom. Where is this Zen? Where is it? So this student sounds a little disappointed, don't you think? I do. A little arrogant and a little disappointed. And the student's traveling, as I said, mentioned what they often do. He's after Ango, the training intensive, people would either go back to their hometown or they would go out and look for hermits and Zen teachers and have these encounters, engage the Dharma. That's how they got teachings from different teachers. So he's going to challenge this great master, Zhao Zhao. That takes nerve, chutzpah, as we would say in Yiddish. And they do make a challenge. They do make a put down, I would say. I heard about this famous stone bridge, but now I've come here and I see a simple log bridge. I'm not impressed. Coming with a load of expectation, perhaps. Maybe now disappointment. So how often do we come to things? What's this got to do with us? How often do we come to things when we already have an idea of what we're looking for created in our mind? To a place, to meet a person. Oh no, you're not what I thought. That's nice, thanks. We try to tell new residents who call up, you know, for a month at the monastery. And, you know, you can imagine you're reading the brochures and going for Zen training for a month. And we say, try to come without expectations, with just a spirit of openness, that you don't know what you're going to find. And, you know, because what are we doing? We're working. We're waking up very early. We're eating. We're working most of the day. We're receiving teachings and talks. Going to sleep. Our legs hurt. We're tired. Where's the Zen? So we just say, try and come with a spirit of openness. Because we have that. It's hard to not have expectations. Like in art practice, Daito Roshi used to teach about the resonance, about being drawn to things that you feel draw you, be notice. So he might give us a koan like make love with light and say, go out and wait for a resonance. Just walk around and feel what you're drawn to with this quality of love and find it in light. And he says, now, try and go out open and not have an expectation. He used to, you know, say, like, don't go out and look for, like, a Hallmark card. You know, like, love is like, I got to find a tulip or, you know, two people holding hands, you know. He said, what is this feeling of love? Sit with that. And so if you go out with an expectation looking for it, you'll find two things. Either you'll find it or you won't. And either way, he said, you'll be disappointed. A part of us will die in that, right? Instead of just going out and just saying, what? The wonder. Like, see what we're drawn to, not our idea. This is what I expect the famous bridge of Zhao Zhao to be. This is what I expect a famous adept to be. This is what I expect Zen to be. I longed for freedom. This is what I thought freedom was to be. This is what I think insight looks like. Maybe they're showing off a little bit to face Joshu like this, Zhao Zhao like this. So sometimes we only see the stepping stones. We don't see the stone bridge. Because we're looking for a stone bridge. As long as we're looking for a stone bridge, as long as we're looking for an idea of a Zen person we're going to miss the real thing. We're going to miss the person, any person. Too bad for this student. This reaction, this pain, this loneliness, this boredom, this confusion. There it is, whatever it is, in plain sight. That's that sublime freedom of just this, just as it is. But no, we lob things on top. The first time I went to the monastery, there was this man on a tractor, a red tractor, zinging around the meadow, mowing. It's an old tractor, the blades, big one. He's sitting up on it, cigarette hanging on his lips, sleeves rolled out, up, work clothes, tattoos, just zoom, zoom, all around. And in the evening, the monastic said, now Daido Roshi will come in and give you opening remarks and give us a little of the historical background, overview of the tradition of Zen, the spirit of Zen training, and in walks the guy on the tractor in robes. That was Daido Roshi. Boy, did I smile. We all made bows. I mean, I was smiling so hard it actually hurt. I was so excited that that was so. All my ideas. It was the guy on the tractor. So be aware and make sure you know who you're signing up with if you're choosing a teacher. I was thinking of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and how... towards the end, you know, she's taking all these directions and she pulls the curtain and then there's just this old guy pulling levers. I want to go back home, she says. I just want to go back home. She awakens from her self-cast spell, seeing him. She just wakes up from that spell that she cast of who this great Oz was behind the curtain, just sees this old man, ordinary old man. I want to go back home. Where is this home? Awakening from our state of disappointment. Where is home? What happens in that state of disappointment? It will take our inquiry. It will take our inquiry. And what a Dharma gate it is to feel the shock of our thought forms exploding. This essential stone bridge. Not what we thought. Whoa. It's a most powerful Dharma gate to see the bedrock it's based on. A ton of bricks can shift just like that when we see clearly into our disappointment. Bridges collapse. The raw jolt of an experience gone awry. Ever had that? What a keen Dharma gate to feel something unexpected. More than we will know. Zhao Zhao might say, when we ask, where is home? It's right here. It's right here. So, when he said, Zhao Zhao said, you just see the log bridge, you don't see the stone bridge. The footnote says, Zhao is accustomed to getting the advantage. This old fellow is selling off his body. So maybe we can admire Zhao's ability to put his student, his self in the student's point of view. You don't see it. You don't get it. All right, I understand that. I know how that is. Or he might be doing kind of an Aikido move, throwing his energy back to him, emphasizing more the you. You don't see the stone bridge. You don't get it. You do not see it, even as you walk on it, as we chant in the identity of relative and absolute. The bridge is the stepping stones. Wake up. The teaching is this significant old man. That is the teaching of the Dharma. Anything self-made will fall apart. As we hear in the Heart Sutra, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no color, sound, smell, taste, touch, phenomena. Nothing to take hold of. Nothing to throw away. Just the essential stone bridge. Just this. As it is. One commenter wrote, it's like how poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning put it in a slightly different context. Earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush afire with God. There is nothing, no moment to take hold of, but this is what we awaken to. And Zhao Zhao's position to see, if we go into Zhao Zhao's position, we can see what a remarkable answer he gave. How would you feel if someone comes up and attacks you? Maybe this has already happened. Puts you down, like this student. Oh, I thought you were, but you're not. For most of us, the reaction would be, defensive, getting angry, attacking back. But he's completely level. He has no response at this point. It takes a great person to be aware like that. The student doesn't get it. They ask, so what is the bridge? The footnote says, he's climbed onto Zhao's hook after all. How is that? Zen teachers are often called fisher persons. They have fishing poles, and they drop down a line, and they see if the student bites, right? He got a bite. He got a big bite, not just a nibble. He got a big bite. What is the stone bridge? They throw the hook down, and Joshu knows where to place the hook. The student's question is a good one. What is the stone bridge? And Joshu's response is a sharp one. It lets asses cross. It lets horses cross. The footnote says, a single net cast over asses and horses. In fact, all the people in the world have no place to breathe. Once dead, they don't come back to life again. Once dead, they don't come back to life again. Can anyone ever tell us it? It's what's unutterable, unthinkable, inexpressible. How can I or anyone possibly tell you? Joshu says, I can only point. It allows horses and asses to cross. A single net cast over asses and horses. No place to breathe. Once dead, they don't come back to life. It can kind of sound otherworldly, but it's now. It's right here, right now. This death is the spiritual death, the loss of our fixations, our ideas. That's the bridge that blows up, that collapses. And we need these bridges. We need these disappointments. Like when a teacher says, just be yourself. What does that mean? My teacher used to say that a lot. Just be yourself. I would be like, where else do we go, you know? What does that mean? Carry on as before? Invent a new one? No, cast everything away. Just be yourself. Cast everything away. What kind of bridge lets asses and horses through? What kind of bridge doesn't have likes or dislikes, what builds walls, blockades, puts up toll gates? We only, when we act in that kind of way, we just put up more walls in the mind, more shadows and dust. What part are we not letting cross over when we meet it? What part don't we let cross over? The disappointment, do we not let that cross us over? The frustration, the pain, cannot not let us cross over to our awakening? We must take the impasse that boils up, is what he's pointing to, I think. Whatever position, or whatever we want to, when we want to be something or someone other than we are. What is freedom if something can't cross? When every stone, really, every person, every life is inseparable. That's the truth. It's not how we live. Right there, if we can live that way, greed is liberated. Kindness is liberated. Delusion is liberated to awakening. Yeah, real life is raw and disappointing at times. The body-mind we see can fail, no matter how hard we try to keep ourselves going. This is real life. Wars and negotiations to end wars. Moments of joy and laughter, moments of screams and terror. All part of this raw life. Can we be so generous as to not leave anything out for ourselves? And then we can do it for others and with others. And in that moment, Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, arrives. And when they arrive, when you feel that, what is that sensation? We have the sensations of disappointment and frustration, but what is that sensation in your body when compassion arrives, when you feel it? And the mind will want to gloss over. What is the cessation in our elements, in our form, that we see in our own experience from all of it? In Zazen, we can experience this broader moment where we no longer pit one stone bridge against another stone bridge, a stone bridge against a log bridge. There are not two bridges. If you see one bridge, you have to see through it thoroughly. That's our practice. Whatever that bridge is that arises. To not be hooked is to miss the stone bridge. So we get hooked. We take the impasse that boils up. What is the stone bridge if there's no response, no problem that arrives? It's one step, it's one step, it's one step. So, yeah, each of us can only choose to have confidence in that, because mostly we want to get rid of some bridge. We don't want that bridge. It's not what we came for. And if we can have confidence in it, we'll know. We'll know why we met that bridge. And then there will be no doubt that this moment, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, is all right. It's all right. All right. Just as it is. Incomplete. Complete. One Zen Master Engo, who's a commenter for the Blue Kerf Record in the 12th century, wrote, "To those who are awake, the universe is not veiled. All its activities lie open. Whichever way they may go, they do not get stuck. With every move they make, they have the confidence to act with authority. Zhao Zhao can't tell us. Buddha can't tell us. Jesus can't tell us. Shugen Roshi can't tell me. Can't tell you. We each have to walk the stepping stones in our own experience. We can point. Only each of us can breathe this breath, the one you're having now, the one we're having now. We breathe that. Walk this walk. Eat this bread. Cry this cry. Feel this loneliness. Feel this joy. Live this moment in plain sight. Nothing and no one is forsaken, not even ourself. It lets asses cross. Sometimes I'm an ass. It lets horses cross. I'm a horse. They're not different. They're just crossing.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.